I have really good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? Well, if you've got a Bible, turn in it to the book of Psalms, chapter 23. And so the message this morning is entitled The Shepherd's Song, which comes from Psalm chapter 23. And I wonder today if you know who the shepherd is. When I talk about the shepherd, you know who he is? I don't mean, do you know who he is? Do you know him? How many know the shepherd in this place? There's a psalm, Psalm 23, which is one of those that I really believe was a song, but it's so simple. If you don't have it memorized, a lot of people do. This is probably one of my most frequently requested passages to read at somebody's memorial service or at a gravesite, because it starts at the beginning and goes to the end. And it's just one of the most simple songs about a relationship with the Lord. And it begins on with this, and you'll forgive me, because all of the translations, by the way, there's no bad translation of this psalm that I've come across. And this is mine, and it starts with this phrase, Yahweh my shepherd. Now I know we usually say the Lord is my shepherd, which is quick, correct. The Lord, Yahweh is actually the name used in Hebrew. He uses a personal name for the Lord. It was the God of the Israelites. And it's very simple. The first two words in it are Yahweh Ro'i. So it's just Yahweh my shepherd. Now we usually lengthen phrases like that in English. So we say, well, what does that mean? Well, it could mean Yahweh is my shepherd, right? And of course that's correct. But there's another way of looking at it too, is maybe the psalmist was giving him another name. Just like his name is Yahweh Yireh, the Lord sees me. Now in this case, his name is Yahweh Ro'i. Yahweh my shepherd. And when my life is in you, I don't lack anything. Will you just read it with me? And I'll do my very best not to interrupt you again. Let's just read it. It says, Yahweh, my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside restful waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no harm, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in my presence before my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord to the end of days. It's a slightly different version, but all of them mean exactly the same. There is this, there's a couple of phrases in this that lead me to think that this was a kingly prayer, a kingly song. And my default is usually to go back to the time of King Hezekiah, who was the great antitype of David, the original king, and a prototype of Jesus Christ. And so it was in his season when he was bringing all the people together that we get some of the greatest psalms. And it's in his season of writing scripture, both in prophecy and in the prophetic history, that we get the emphasis on the shepherding motif, that being a shepherd. And the idea was, and there's another psalm that says, and David shepherded them with the integrity of his heart and with skillful hands, he led them. Which is a prophecy about David, but it was really to bolster and to prophesy to King Hezekiah what kind of leader he was supposed to be. He wasn't just supposed to be a dictator. He was supposed to be a shepherd. Where we get the emphasis in David's life that he was shepherding the sheep. That's an important part of this whole prophetic picture for us. In fact, it's not a mistake that on the night that Jesus was born, that the angels came to who? To shepherds. All of those are part of the same message to us about who Jesus is in our life, that he's like a shepherd. Now, how is he like a shepherd? Well, think of all the things. Have you ever taught Sunday school? How many have ever taught Psalm 23 in Sunday school? All right, so give me the bullet list, right? How is he a shepherd? Well, he leads us, he guides us, he feeds us, he protects us, all of the above. And actually, as I was reading through this psalm, I thought to myself, you know, I was almost tempted to stop and just go off on a, because I'm ADD, go off on a completely different series, and I'm just going to come back to it someday. But I think Psalm 23 needs to be its own series someday. Just like I broke down the Lord's Prayer, every line in this psalm is brilliant. Every line is powerful, and every line is pregnant with meaning for our life. But the basic motif is about knowing him overall. The rest of it's the explanation of the first line, by the way. Yahweh, my shepherd. And let me tell you all the different ways that he is. So I asked you this question. Have you ever heard this psalm before? Do you know the shepherd's song? There's a famous anecdote that I've told many times. And you know how I always say all my stories are true? They are. Every story I'm going to tell you this morning is absolutely true, especially the ones that are about me and my family, right? But what the true part of this story is, I've heard this story for years. I don't know if it actually happened, but it's such a great story. I just can't pass it up. But it's a story about an actor named Richard Burton back in the day. You guys all remember Richard Burton? He was big time. Young kids might not know him, but he was big in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. He was one of these. He had this great English accent. And I can't do Richard Burton. It was a terrible Richard Burton. But he was a Shakespearean actor. He was Welsh. And he just had this baritone. And he was King Arthur in Camelot. Remember Camelot? And then he was in Beckett and all of these great movies in the 60s. Anyway... He had grown up, as many do in Great Kingdom, going to church as a kid, Anglican church, and his pastor was retiring. So this is after he's a famous actor, and he went back to his hometown in Wales to the retirement of his pastor. And while they were there celebrating, he was way up in his age, and he says, you know, young Richard, because he remembered him when he was a boy, he goes, would you bless us by sharing with us the Lord's or the Shepherd's Psalm? And he said, all right, he agreed to do it. And he stood up in front of the congregation and with that great voice, once again, I'm not going to do it because it would destroy it. I could never do it like Richard Burton. But just picture him, if you know who he is, reading from the old King James, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it was just brilliant. You know, the delivery and the drama and the dynamics. It's just, as you can imagine, Richard Burton reading this psalm. When he was done, everybody stood up and just like, they were just so happy. I mean, what an amazing thing. Could you imagine having that happen on a Sunday morning? And then Richard Burton says, Pastor, he goes, I did that at your request, but if you would bless me, would you get up and read this psalm like the way that you taught it to me? And this pastor just humbly got up to the pulpit and he said, all right. And they gave him the mic. Now he's up in age. He didn't have that great actor voice. At least he didn't anymore. It was all kind of shaky and quivery. But each line that he read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You could tell he paused and his whole life would go between in his mind. All the different thousands of times that he's put the Lord to the test and he's been faithful in every season. You could tell that those words weren't just something that he read. You could tell they were life experience. He discovered that about the Lord. All the tragedies he'd been through, all of the joys, all of the triumphs, and each and every time, God was faithful shepherd to him. And when he got done just with this simple reading of it, he sat down, and there wasn't a standing ovation this time. This time, there wasn't a dry eye in the whole place. And the young man leaned over to Richard Burton, and he says, Mr. Burton, he says, what was the difference between the two readings? And he says, it's simple, young man. He says, I know the shepherd's song, but he knows the shepherd. How many know there's a huge difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus? Knowing about the Lord because you've heard about him. Maybe you've talked about him. Maybe you've read about him. Maybe you've studied a lot about religion. But there's a big difference, friends, between knowing about the shepherd and knowing the shepherd. Let me ask you again today, do you know him? Do you know the shepherd? Have you invited him to come into your life? Does he lead you and guide you? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And they follow me. Do you know his voice? Do you follow him? Have you given him his life? So this morning, I just want to talk to a bunch of sheep today. Where's my sheep at? I knew you were here someplace. I want to talk about how awesome it is. I love the fact that I don't need to cue that up anymore. It's just in the back pocket. But I want to talk about the shepherd today and introduce you to my best friend as if you didn't know him already. And one of the first things it says, and I had to work hard to pick just three, because every line in this song is awesome. But the core part of the beginning is about, and it culminates in this line, he restores my soul. But it's all part of it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside restful waters. By the way, that's where we say peaceful waters or still waters was the inspiration for the video backdrop you've been looking for this whole time. I just finally got to the verse that it came for. He leads me beside the still waters. And the word for still is manucha, where we get the name Noah and where we get to come into his rest, to enter into his rest. And I love the first line, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Isn't that a great way to say it? He makes me to lie down. So there's different forms in the Hebrew. Permission to be nerdy for just a second. But there's different, the PL form of a verb, it's not quite like tense, it's different. And it means that the subject, I'm the object, and the subject is the thing that I'm speaking to, but the subject is changing me into something else. There's another one called the hifl. And this is the hifl form of the word, which means that the subject is causing me to do something. So it's actually just one word. He makes me lie down. It's just yarbitzeni. But yarbitzeni means that he does it to me. Have you ever had to make somebody lie down? How many mamas in this place have ever had to make somebody lie down? And how many know those little critters don't always like to lie down? And they will let you know that they don't want to lie down. And you have to lovingly remind them of who the boss is. Because even when they don't think they need to lie down, they need to lie down. I love this verse since I was a kid, that it even just speaks of a relationship we have with the Lord. Even when we don't know what's best for us, he does. And he knows when we need to lie down, even though we don't think we're in the mood for it. Anybody with me so far? I remember my favorite, Londa's here, so I'll tell a story. By the way, I try only ever to tell stories about my kids that don't make them look bad, ever. But she was two, and I put her down for her nap, and she, you know, wanted daddy back in there. Daddy, daddy. Now, this never happens anymore. She never calls for me. But back when she was little, daddy, daddy, daddy. She was just trying to stay awake, right? Daddy, daddy, daddy. And I came back in there, and I said, what? She didn't have anything. She was just, you know, trying to get me back in there. She goes, my foot's out. And I said, Londa, no, it's right there in the blanket. And she went, oh, I just love those. Aren't kids cute? Oh, man. Sometimes the Lord knows us better than we do. And I wish we could all just receive that. Just like your little kids, they need mom and dad or even grandma and grandpa to tell them when it's nap time. How many are grateful for a shepherd that loves us and cares about us, even knows us better than we do, and reminds us of when we need not just the nap, because I'm not just talking about physical rest. I'm talking about spiritual rest. Psalm 116 is a similar psalm. He says, return to your rest, O my soul. I like the ones where he talks to his own soul. For Yahweh has been generous to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Have you ever gotten to a place in your life where you needed a rest, but you didn't know it? Where you've just been working so hard, and you just think, you know, I didn't realize how badly I needed a break. I remember before I came down to this church, I was a youth pastor in Bremerton, and it was a much bigger church than this, and I was a full-time youth pastor. So I had a junior high youth group, and I had a senior high youth group, completely different, and a college age group, and a bunch of other assignments, and then I was coaching basketball, just kind of like Abel was doing. So I'd get up at 6 in the morning for basketball practice, and then there would be a game. And this night, I had double booked. There was a game in the late afternoon, and then I had a college group staff meeting back at my apartment. Sometimes in ministry, you got to just stack it like that. You know, it's going to be a long day. And I was in the middle of this game, and the game went long. It went into triple overtime. So I'm sitting there going, oh, man, I'm already running late. Finally, it gets over, and I'm like, okay, guys, good job. All right, go, break, go, see you next week. And I turned around, and there was Rumman. He was this big old kid that was in my youth group. He'd been coming with a friend. And in the last several weeks, I'd led him to the Lord, and we were working on getting him out of his gang. Now, there was a bad gang problem back in the day. I don't know if there still is, but probably about 25% of my youth group was gang members at any one given time. 60% of them smoked, if you can believe that. That was the environment I came from. And we were just working with it. And I said, Rumman, why did you join this gang? He said, for protection. He was this huge kid, but everybody else in this gang was 12 years old. I said, those kids aren't going to come running. You need protection. Call Big Pastor Mike. And anyway, I turned around, and there he is, this kid that I've been trying to disciple. And he said, Pastor Mike, can I have a ride home? And I said, where's your parents? And he goes, she just dropped me off. He said, get a ride home with Pastor Mike. I said, okay. So what am I going to say? I'm already late. This is, by the way, before cell phones, so I can't call anybody. I can't tell anybody why I'm going to be late. And I was just stressed. So I drove, probably was driving too fast in my little Honda Civic with no anti-lock brakes. You know where this is going? And I drove him to his house. You know, I think I stopped. I think I just opened the door and said, Roman, get out. And then I got back in my car and I drove down the road and it was pouring down rain. And the road was an old road that went straight, but the new road curved like this. So I could see straight, but it wasn't until I got to the curve that I actually saw that the road curved. And so I curved like, if you've ever been in a Honda Civic with no anti-lock brakes in the rain, let me just tell you, you're pretty sure just going to die. Because once you lose contact with the concrete, you become a hockey puck. You can steer a hockey puck better than you can steer one of those things. And so next thing I know, I'm just sliding slideways and bam, right into a tree. Hit the left side of my car. My head went through my side mirror and I broke the glass. And I looked up in the rearview mirror and there was blood coming down my face. And the only thing I could think of was this. Finally, I have an excuse. Finally. I wasn't upset about the car. I wasn't even that hurt. It hurt, but I wasn't that upset about that. I was more relieved that finally now when I showed up and all those people were sitting there wondering where I've been this whole time, that I had a reason to be late. And I remember driving back after that, praying about it that night, and I said, Lord, this isn't healthy, is it? He's like, no, this is not. This is not a healthy way to live. Listen, we all have seasons, right? All of us do. We have seasons where kids are playing soccer games on different fields, and we have seasons where we've got, you know, an inventory at work, or sometime when we've really got to put the hay in, so to speak. But friends, we can't live our entire life like that. That's why ideas like the Lord gave us about the Sabbath. And it's more than just the Sabbath, but it's also finding a pace where we can keep in step with the Holy Spirit. That's a scripture. And where we can find a pace that's going to last us for the long haul. Amen? His ways, if we follow after the Lord, His ways are always a blessing. They're never a burden. He doesn't want to add things to our schedule. And there's a verse I'll read in Matthew 11, and I may come back on this one for an entirely different message in this series because it's a message in and of itself, but it fit the gospel so well right here. I just want to read what Jesus said. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Anybody weary and burdened in this place? I thought it was interesting. A commentary pointed out that the words that he uses for weary and burdened, they're not just even general, but they are kind of specifically about being weary and burdened by religious duties. So he's talking to a generation that maybe the Pharisees had piled on so many restrictions that they could just never live up to it. They could never get to that place. Come to me, all who you are weary and burdened, come and you will find what? Find what? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. I remember shortly after that, laying on my bed just saying, Lord, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? I said, Lord, I could care less if I ever go to another big mega church where I'm on a treadmill all day long. And I said, you know what I would love to do? If you would just give me a little church down on a lake somewhere where I can just get up and preach the gospel every Sunday, tell people about Jesus. That was literally my prayer. I didn't know there wasn't going to be a lake, but it was going to be on a river. But when we came down that November day, almost 30 years ago, I remember driving down and seeing the fall leaves. And I said, Lord, you answered that prayer in my heart. You answered that prayer. I remember after we got here, we had followed Phil and Diane Franklin, who had been faithful here for 11 years. And they had set the record before us. But there was another brother in town named Howard Lloyd at the Assembly of God Church. How many remember Brother Howard? He was just a dear brother. And when I got here, so picture, I'm 26. I hadn't ever pastored a church before. And Howard Lloyd had been here already for 20 years. And the first time I met him at a pastor's meeting, I remember he was just always the nicest guy to me. Great gentleman. Inspiration to me because he could have talked down to me. But Howard just embraced me, loved on me, You know, it helped that we were Pentecostal brothers too, because we were two of the only ones in town. But he just always treated me like a fellow pastor, and I thought that was so cool. And I used to just sit, I'd have lunch with him sometimes and just ask him questions. And I remember another prayer of my heart was, Lord, give me the kind of a pattern. I want to learn a rhythm to this thing called life, that I don't just burn out in 5 years. I want a kind of a rhythm to doing this, that I could do it for 20 years like Pastor Howard. Well, now he's gone to be home with Jesus, praise God. I know he's much happier now. He's in a better place. But now we're working on 29 years. Next March will be 30 years, Molly and I. And I just have to tell you this. I have to give. I hope you're giving the applause to the Lord, because I got to tell you, the only way you do that is if the Lord is your shepherd. The only way. I give God all the glory for that, because if it was up to me, I'd have been done within 5 years. I'd have been burnt out. In fact, I have been burnt out. But the Lord carries me along even during the down seasons. And he can do something with you, friends. Whatever season of life you're in, young people, learn from the older people that have made it the long haul. If you're a young married couple, learn from these people in the room that have been married for 50 years. How many have been walking with the Lord for 40 years or more in this place? 50 years or more. 60 years or more. 70 years or more. Oh, I just eliminated you. All right. Did you see the hands? Young people, go find those ones. Go find those and then ask, how did you do it? What was the secret? How did you do it? And can I just ask all of you that were in those last three categories or last four, has the Lord ever been unfaithful to you? Ever. Isn't he faithful from beginning to end? And so what a wonderful thing it is to find a Savior. Because friends, I got to tell you, people will come and go in your life, but the Lord never will. He will never leave. The second part of the psalm has to do with kind of being a following sheep. He leads me in the right paths. I know King James says paths of righteousness, but the word tzedek, it can mean like spiritual righteousness, but most of the time I think it just means to do the right thing. To follow in the right path for his name's sake. And this is one of those kingly things, because the reason the Lord would want the king to go on the right path for his name's sake is because if the king does it right, it makes God look good. So that's why it's for his sake. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and there's different ways to translate that, but I went back to the old way. It's just one word. Shadow of death is tzalmavet. And it's this very unique thing. Nobody can decide amongst the experts whether that was an actual place or it was just a word picture. But even so, we get what it means. Have you ever walked through the valley of the shadow of death? I mean, we're like death was just almost there. And he says, even there, I have nothing to fear because you're with me. And friends, I got to tell you, even when we lose sight of him, when the Lord is our shepherd, he never loses sight of his sheep. Not one of us. If you're here and you're watching on YouTube or you're here in the room today, even when you lose sight of him, he never loses sight of you. He knows all of his sheep. Jesus told his disciples a parable. He said, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And the answer is, of course he does. The 99 don't need a shepherd. That one needs the shepherd, and he never leaves one of us. He cares about all of his children, amen? I got another Yolanda and Vicente story. It's not all going to be about you, Lonnie, don't worry. But they were two and three. Our first Christmas, we got them in the fall, and I was over at Fred Meyer's trying to pick out a video game for one of the older boys, and they were two and three, and it's like, okay, you've been to Fred Meyer's, haven't you? You've been into the electronics section, you know, you go in past this scanner door, seems kind of safe, and right there was a big screen TV with Shrek on it. I said, oh, perfect. I said, all right, kids, just watch this for a minute, and I'm going to be right here. Literally, they were here, and I was here, talking to the guy about the video game and which one goes with which one. And, you know, just for a couple of minutes, and I turn around, and they're gone. Like, where did they go? And so I look all up and down the aisles. I said, did you see them? They said, no, we don't know where they went. I went, and I ran up all down the aisles, and I said, I can't find them. Finally, I went to customer service, and I said, I can't find my little boy and girl. And they get on there, and they say, code 9, or cone brown, or whatever it was, because that was the color of my shorts by that time. I was saying, I can't find my children. And they shut it down. Code 9, everybody, which means they close all the doors and everybody starts looking up and down every aisle. You ever seen one of those? And they looked up and down and looked up and down and they couldn't find them anywhere. Not back in the toy section, anywhere. And I hadn't had these kids for very long. So what did I do? I called Molly. I said, Molly, I have good news and I have bad news. Which one do you want first? She said, give me the bad news. I said, I've lost the two little ones. She says, well, what's the good news? I said, we still have two perfectly good kids at home, and two out of four isn't bad. That's 50%. In baseball, that's batting 500. I think, you think that's what I said? Of course not. I was still freaking out. And I looked all around, and then I thought, well, the last thing in the world, of course they didn't go back to the car. I went back there, and they're just sitting in the car. Just like, la-di-da-di-da, like nothing's wrong. And I get in there. You know when you're in that, your adrenaline's pumping. You got it. Okay, do not take it all out on them. They're just little kids. With the niceness of a daddy, don't ever do that to me again in the rest of your life. And they were just like, what's the big deal? We wanted to come back to the car. You know, how would we ever think? Would you leave your kids and just not be like, no big deal? What's one out of 99? Jesus says, if you're his sheep, he never loses track of you. He never loses you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. You're one of his children. If you're in his family, he always knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. You can trust a God like that. Amen? Don't ever think. And we get isolated. All of us do. Sickness, injury, illness, circumstances can isolate all of us. But if we could just get back to that place and remember, no matter what, he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And sometimes we need him just to lead us down in the right path. And sometimes it's a path that we've known for a long time, but we've just forgotten about it. Sometimes we didn't wander off into something wrong, but we're always looking for something new, right? What's that new book? People are telling me all the way. I forget what the latest one is. People give me about two or three different things. Oh, Pastor Mike, have you heard about this new great craze, that this new devotional that everybody's doing? And I said, no, I don't know anything about that. I said, I don't. Why not? I said, I just go back to the book. I just go back to the old past. They haven't worn out for me yet. And I remember when my dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he didn't have long to live. They said 6 months to a year, but it was going to be 6 weeks. We didn't know that. But somebody that had survived cancer gave him a videotape. Remember videotapes? Kids, they were these little rectangular things that you put in. It was like a toaster. Yeah. And they gave him a videotape, and it was just some random guy, some pastor. I don't know who he was, not famous, but it was just a devotional on Psalm 23 for people that are going through cancer. And it was just a simple devotional. And I went over to his house, and he goes, man, this has been like a lifesaver for me. And I said, really, Dad? I listened to part of it. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's just what we're talking about. That's what we read about. I said, Dad, you know all of this. You've been preaching for decades. You know this passage like the back of your hand. I said, how is this such a revelation to you? And he goes, because I don't think I ever needed to hear it like I do right now. And it just dawned on me, the power of the Word of God. It's not just in case, it's just in time. It's a prophetic book, each and every passage of it. When we read it, we don't read it like it's poetry, but we read it and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me today. Maybe you've known it before, but you're different now than you were a year ago. You are. You might not feel like it, might not look like it in the mirror, but you're different. You're not at the same place you were 10 years ago or 50 years ago. Each and every season, there's a new thing that the Lord wants to speak into our life. And he is faithful in every season. Amen. Tom, I still can't believe you came up with that song about the faithfulness of God. But you were just listening to the Holy Spirit this morning. The last thing is, he says that surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. My grandma used to tell me a story about a little boy that named his two little dogs Surely Goodness and Mercy. Because of that song, Surely Goodness and Mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I thought it was cute. Anyway, but surely goodness, and the word for mercy or love is chesed. It's that faithful love. It's that love that never leaves, never forsakes. And he says, all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord to the end of my days. That's literally how it is. You can say forever, but in Hebrew thought, forever wasn't like this thing off into eternity. It meant for until the days run out, you're going to be there each and every day from the first day of my life to the last. And friends, I'm here to tell you that if we let him, the Lord can guide us from the very first step to the very last of our life. Amen? No matter which one you're closer to right now, I'm getting closer to the second and further away from the first every day. Closer to the last day and further away from my first day. But I can just tell you, the one thing, out of all the things that have failed, all the mistakes I've made in my life, the one thing I've never been sorry for is making the Lord my shepherd. It's the one thing that has always paid dividends. One of my favorite passages in the book of Genesis, it's towards the end of the whole patriarch story arc. And it's Jacob is in Egypt now with Joseph and all of his sons. And he has two new grandsons. He has Ephraim and Manasseh, who were Joseph's sons born to his Egyptian wife. So that was a deal back in those days. He wasn't full-blooded Hebrew. And yet Jacob adopts them, not just as his grandsons, but he adopts Joseph's two Egyptian grandsons into his family, and they become two of the 12 patriarchs. I don't know if you knew that, but two of the 12 tribes of Israel were adopted into that. And here I am, all these years, over 20 years ago, and I'm preaching on this passage, and I make notice of that. And it was that very Sunday that we had found out that our first two adopted kids, Shane and Casey, were going to come and be our forever kids. So it was the very first time the church had been praying for us for years for kids. And we weren't able to have our own biologically. And so we got to show their little pictures up. And I looked down and my mom and my dad just happened to be over for Sunday that day. And I got to that passage where, well, let me just read it. It says, and then he, this is Jacob or Joseph, sorry. He says, and then he blessed Joseph and he said, may the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all of my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. And I just thought, let me ask you, has the Lord been your shepherd all your days? And I looked down and I saw my dad, and it was one of those Holy Spirit moments. I said, Dad, would you do something? Oh, man. I said, would you pray a prayer of blessing before we get here, because I don't want to embarrass him, but would you pray a prayer of blessing over these two little boys that are coming into our household? And he got up and prayed, Holy Spirit-filled preacher, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place that day either, but what a wonderful blessing that passage was. And I just love it, because you know, when Jacob is saying that, have you read the story of Jacob? Man, it's a lot of up and downhills. There's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of victory. There's a lot of hardship. There's a lot of overcoming. There's a lot of wrestling with God. And at the end of his life, as he passes on the blessing to his kids, he said, you know what? If I could pass off anything to you, it would be the Lord who's been my shepherd my entire life. He's been my shepherd my entire life, from the very beginning to the very end, from the very first step. Oh, let me go to the other end. The other part is, any of you keep up with my son Casey on Facebook? And I only ask a random question like that because most of you know more about his life than I do. Because I don't do Facebook. But I look on there and see some of your comments, I'm like, he's one of the most prolific Facebook posters. And he's got a beautiful little wife. He had two beautiful kids and another one on the way. Well, little Callum, who's the boy, he's the youngest. He hasn't walked, or at least as of November, he wasn't walking. He was doing I would love to answer that. Whose phone is that? Would you give it? Who are you pointing to? Was that Shelly? Ken? Okay, no cheating next time. There's a rule in my church, by the way. If you leave your phone on and you're not are you a volunteer fireman? It's the only excuse. If you leave your phone on and it rings, I get to answer it in front of everybody. So that's the rule. Oh, it just broke my whole thing. Anyway, what I was going to tell you is little Callum Kalamazoo, who's no more than two, that's what I call it. And when we were over in Hawaii to visit them last November, he couldn't walk yet. He didn't really crawl either. He kind of tripoded. He kind of, you know, one hand, one leg, and then his left butt cheek. So all of the pants on the left side of all of his little trousers are wore through because that's his third foot. And he would just scoot like this, and he could do it pretty fast, and he would get excited. Even on the beach, he'd come and get something, and he'd come over to me, Gippa, 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 and he'd run over to me. That's my name, Gippa. And he could get around pretty good on that, and he could stand. He was almost there. I kind of was hoping we could get him to walk, but he could stand up like this, and he'd be like, and I'd say, Callum, walk to me. And he goes, oh, don't. Like, no, that's not going to happen. I'll fall over if I lift a foot up. And so he hasn't been walking. And just a couple of weeks ago, he took his first step. He said, I thought we were coming to church not to watch home videos. Who wants to see little Carter take his first step? Anybody else? Okay, it's not long. Watch it for just a second.
You can walk with no hands. Walk to daddy. Go, dogs. Good job, Callum. I'm getting tired. Walk. How about no hands? No hands.
Okay, I could watch it all day. I'm not going to make you watch it all day. That is enough. Thank you for indulging me for a moment. I love it that even more excited than mom and dad is his big sister Carter, because now she gets a playmate, right? And the dogs were all excited about it too. And I just thought, way to go, grandson, your first four steps. And now there's 2 million to come. It's just the first of many. How many know that's true? And I would like to just tell that little boy, it's not a sprint, son. It's a marathon. And it's a long, long marathon. Some of you are starting to have problems walking now too, but that's a reverse problem. So I'm proud of you for using your canes and your walkers. Don't ever feel embarrassed. It happens to the best of us, right? But there is there's something about knowing your shepherd that even from the very beginning, you can know that he is faithful in our life. Jesus said to his disciples this in John chapter 10, verse 14. He says, I am, read it with me, would you? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. How many know the shepherd in this place? How many know him? Do you really? I want to leave you with one, just in case you need some inspiration, because that's hopefully why you came today. That's why I came, was to try to encourage you. Are you encouraged? Well, bless God. You know, we all need it each and every day. So this is the first Sunday of Black History Month. And not just for that reason, but I wanted to show you a portion of one of my favorite sermons that I've ever heard. It was preached back in 1976 in Detroit by an African-American preacher named S.M. Lockridge. He was a pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego. And this isn't his whole message. This is just the last few minutes of his message, so I can't imagine what the whole rest of it was like. But in times like these, sometimes I wish I went to a black gospel church, because they really know how to get into it. When they believe in Jesus, or they like something, they say, they let you know. Amen? See this, you know, white church, I get three. I would so be at home in an African-American church. I would love it. I would so love it. But I just wanted to listen to, if you've never heard this before, many of you had, it's all over YouTube. There's a million versions of it. But just in case you're somebody that's never heard this message, I want to just play for you an ending of his message. It's entitled, That's My King. And feel free to be a little bit more expressive than you usually are. Feel free to give it an amen. If you hear something that rings true with your heart, feel free to interact with it. Just embrace it, and let's lift up his name in this place. Amen. Just listen to this for a minute.
I wonder if you know it. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my King? The Bible says he's a King of the Jews. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my King. Well, no barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means or measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his solar supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my king? Well, my king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Yeah! Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah!
Oh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love it. Do you know him? Anybody here know him? Friends, I got to tell you, it just will change your life. Once you know who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is, once the Lord is your shepherd, nothing will ever be the same. And I know I'm preaching to the choir today. I know a lot of your life. I don't know everybody's personal life, but I know there's a lot of us, every one of us, we've been through good times and bad times. We've had ups and downs. We've had things that we've, where we've gone astray, and times that we've come back, but it is never too late to come back to the Lord. Never. He never loses track of one of his children. Doesn't matter if it's been years or if it's just been minutes. But you wander away from him ever, he's always that loving shepherd to bring you back. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. You are our shepherd from the beginning today to the end, from our first step to our last, Lord Jesus, and then beyond into heaven. You are the one that calls us. You're the one that saved us. You're the ones that redeemed us. And Lord, I just thank you for being real in my life and the life of everybody in this place. But can I just ask you this morning, if there's even one person in this room, maybe you know about the shepherd, but you don't know the shepherd. Maybe you know about religion, but you know what you need to do today is just remind him that you know who your shepherd is. Say, Lord, I want to just follow after you with all of my life. I want to give you my life today. Whether it's a first-time commitment or a recommitment, it doesn't matter to him. Just come and follow after him today. While nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy. If you're here in this place and you just need to give your life back to the good and loving shepherd, just look up at me for a moment. Is there anybody like that? He hasn't forgotten about you. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Friends, will you stand to your feet with me today and just grab somebody's hand next to you? If you're able to, if not, just pray from the seat. Pray with me, would you? Lord Jesus, today, say this, Lord Jesus, I invite you in today to be the Lord and my Savior. I want to follow after you for the rest of my days. I give you my life today. Everything that I am and everything that I have is on the altar before you. Write my name in the book of life, and I'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said together, amen, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering today. Just praise him. Oh, hallelujah. I love all of you so much. Have a great day. You've been great today.